There you go.
Shoo. I hate sound equipment. There's two things in the world that are demon possessed: sound equipment and sound men. Cat. Oh, who said cats? Okay, not. I will not go there. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to be with you. We, as you mentioned, my wife and I we retired from Heartland Baptist Bible College after 26 years of ministry. I think when you were there, what year did you graduate? '04, yes. So I was the dean of students when your pastor was there. And so many of the rules that we have in the code of conduct. That's not true. But this is a new phase in our life. I was telling somebody the other day, I've worked since I was 16 years old, and as of August the 1st, I was unemployed. It's weird. But God has just been so good. We've been able to be out and about, traveling some, and holding some meetings and different things. And so it's an honor to be with you. I appreciate the opportunity. Actually, we've changed the word retired to repurposing. Amen. So that's kind of a different word. And repurposed, you know, you look it up and it's like you take an old piece of furniture and you sand it down and restain it. That's kind of what that's our word. So, it's been good. We've enjoyed it, and we appreciate the opportunity to be with you. We were with Brother John Vaught on Sunday, the other day, and so last Sunday, and here tonight. We'll be back, I guess, Sunday to try to help you and encourage you a little bit. I appreciate the blessing thing. I had a call this afternoon from a pastor in upstate New York trying to help a guy walk through some very, very different things in his life. And so I was just telling him, here's what you need to do. You know, the guy's struggling with his thoughts. And, sometimes when your thoughts go wrong, it affects your life. That's the reason why they call it thought life. Because the way you think determines the way you live. And so I gave him this project to have this guy do, to take a 3x5 card, and morning, noon, and night, you write down blessings. Amen. Write down blessings. In the morning, at noon, and at night. Because here's what I've discovered. When you and I cease to be thankful, we get troubled. Right. Trouble comes our way. And here's a question, right? How many of you got up today? Let me see your hand. That's not a trick question, yay? You know why you got up? Because you have a God that allowed you to get up. Amen. And do not take that for granted. We're staying in a condo that pastors, just a nice area. And I got up this morning and walked through the parking lot. I'm not brave enough to go outside of the gate because I don't know what kind of neighborhood there is, but... So that's my prayer time. I walk a little bit over a mile around the parking lot in my prayer time. And the first thing I pray every day, listen, first thing I pray every day is, God, thank you for another day. Because we never know, do we? We never know. So be thankful. Be thankful. Don't ever cease to be thankful. So anyway, Pastor, thank you for allowing us to be here. And we're going to go to Matthew chapter number 22. If you would, please. And you're already standing. We're just going to read a couple of verses here in the book of Matthew, chapter number 22. And let's start with verse number 34. Matthew, chapter 22, verse number 34. All right, everybody there? Okay, all right, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer. Now, he's a lawyer in the Lord's day is different than a lawyer in our day. You know, a lawyer in Jesus's day would have been like a doctor of theology. All right, Anybody in here a lawyer? Anybody? Did you know they bury lawyers 12 feet deep? Because they know that somewhere down deep they're good people. How do you know if a lawyer's lying? His lips are moving. So thank you. Yeah, there you go. So a lawyer in Jesus' day was not, they didn't put up billboards advertising, you know, injury law and all that stuff. They were experts in the law. And I want you to keep that in mind for later on, all right? Then one of them, verse 35, which was a lawyer, asked him a question. Now notice this, doing what? Tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Amen. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So I titled the message tonight, Love God, Love Others. This is the principle that Jesus gives us right here in this passage. Let's bow and we'll have a word of prayer and let you be seated. Father, I thank you tonight for the opportunity that we have to be here, and I pray that you help me tonight to be able to preach the word. And I ask that if there be one here this evening on this Wednesday night, what a blessing it is that people have come out to be at church on Wednesday night, that if there be one here tonight that does not know Jesus as their Savior, that they would come tonight and let somebody take the Bible and show them how they can know eternal life. Because, Lord, that's the only way that people will spend eternity in heaven with you, is through Jesus, through what you did for us on the cross of Calvary. So bless now our time in the Bible, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. May be seated. Thank you for standing in honor to God's word. The question that this lawyer asks in verse number 36 comes at the end of a long day of confrontation. It seems as though the ministry of Jesus, the last half of his ministry, was nothing but him being confronted and having to not defend himself, that's not the right word, but having to help convince people that he was the Messiah. So this question that is asked by this lawyer comes at the end of a day of confrontation. And actually it begins all the way back in chapter number 21, when Jesus begins to give a number of parables that the Jews knew that they were the object of those parables. So back up to verse 15 of chapter number 22. Look at this. And then it says, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle in him his talk. So he's giving them these parables, and right before verse number 15, he gives the parable about a king who invites guests to a wedding feast, and the servants were sent out, and that they were rejected, and so the Jews, the leaders of Israel, their that faith that they had, they knew that the parable was directed toward them. So they got together and they said, we got to figure out how we can entangle him in his talk, catch him in some of the words that he uses. So this attempt to do that came in three different attempts. The first attempt is found in verse 16 to verse 22, when they came to Jesus and questioned him on authority. And so look at verse 16. And they sent out unto him their disciples, the Pharisees, the main leaders of the Jewish religion of that day, Pharisees, their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, We know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Now let me stop here and say this. All right, so you had the Pharisees who hated the Romans. They hated the Roman Empire. They didn't want the Romans to be in their country. And then you had the Herodians who were on the opposite end of the spectrum. They loved the Roman Empire. And so you had the disciples of the Pharisees who hated the Romans and the Herodians who loved the Roman Empire coming together to ask Jesus this question. It sounds like kind of like a, why in the world, if you hate the Romans and you love the Romans, why would you get together? Well, it's because their hatred of Jesus was stronger than their hatred of the Roman Empire. So they came to Jesus and says, is it right for us to offer tribute unto Caesar? And what does Jesus do? He asks for a coin. And he says, whose image and superscription is on this coin? And they said, well, it's Caesar's. And he said to them, render to Caesar that which is Caesar's. So in other words, it's right for you to pay tribute to those that are in authority. All right, now let me make an application for you and I. In our nation today, when do we not honor that authority in our lives? When they come in and tell you you can't preach the book. Right. When they tell you you can't go to church. Right. When they tell you you can't hold religious services. Then we ought to obey God rather than man, right? You understand that? So Jesus answers this question about authority. The next group that comes along were a group called the Sadducees, and they were the liberals of the day. They were ones who didn't believe in a resurrection, and they didn't believe in angels. One guy said it this way, that's why they were sad, you see. And so they came to Jesus and asked him a question about the levirate law. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 25, you read about a law that states if a man marries a woman and he dies, if he has a brother who's not married, that his brother's obligated to marry his brother's wife to perpetuate the seed, all right? So they say to Jesus, a man marries a woman and he dies. His brother marries her and he dies. Brother number three marries her and he dies. All right, so I'm thinking, if I'm brother number four and three of my brothers have been married to the same woman, I ain't drinking the Kool-Aid. You know what I mean? So they go through this scenario and said, at the resurrection, whose wife will... So seven brothers, I left that out, have the same woman at the resurrection, whose wife will she be? And Jesus says, you do err, not knowing the scripture. For God is not the God of the living, God of the dead, but he's the God of what? He's the God of the living. So you have the disciples of the Pharisees and the Herodians asking a question about authority. You have the Sadducees asking a question about the accuracy of Scripture. And then the third attempt, again, it goes back to verse 15. What are they trying to do? They're trying to catch him in his words, right? So all of that is designed. This is all this attempt to catch Jesus in something that he says that they can hold against him. So the last one comes and he has a question about priority. That's what verse number 36 would imply. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? All right. So we have a two-part outline. It's not even a three-part outline. And I don't have a poem, so I'm not doing this homiletically correct. You know, 3 points in a poem, that's what they tell you you're supposed to do. I guess I come up with a poem. Roses are red, violets are blue. You smell like a B-52. It's the only poem that I can got, right? All right, so there are two parts to this sermon. Number one is the tempting question. Isn't that what the man comes to Jesus to do? Again, verse number 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, doing what? Tempting him. Again, it goes back to verse 15. They're trying to find something that they can use against him in his words. So we have the tempting question. The tempting question. Now, it was a question, by the way, that's been debated by the Jews for centuries.
Because there are 600, now listen to this, 613 commandments. And I got all of them written down here. You ready? No. 613 commandments. That's interesting because of those 613 commandments, 248 of them were positive. 365 were negative. So the Jews knew. They knew that it was going to be difficult to keep all of the laws. So here's what they did. They divided them into two groups. They had the light laws and the heavy laws. The light laws were ones that were less important. The heavy laws were things like thou shalt not kill, right? The heavy laws, they were important laws. It allowed you, and here's what this did, it allowed you to not to have to worry about over the lighter aspects of the law. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Go over to chapter 23 real quick. Chapter 23 of Matthew and look at verse number 23. Matthew 23, verse 23. Now notice how Jesus words it in verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Now he wasn't out to win friends and influence people. You know, you don't call people hypocrites and expect for them to respond and love you back, right? But he says, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, you know, giving spices and things of that nature as a part of their tithe, and have omitted, what's the next words? The weightier matters of the law, things like judgment, mercy, and faith, these ought ye to have done and not leave the other undone. Now, I want you to know, and you think about this, there was a Pharisee and a publican standing, and they were standing before God, and the Pharisee, remember what his words, I'm paraphrasing, he said, what were his words? I thank thee, Lord, that I am not like other men. I tithe, I fast, I do all of these things. I thank thee, Lord, that I am not like him. Jesus did not condemn that Pharisee for tithing and fasting and praying, doing all the things. But what did he condemn him for? His self-righteousness. So Jesus says right here in verse 23, you ought to do the light things of the law. Tithing is no big deal. That's what Jesus is saying, by the way. You ought to be tithing. Amen. Thank you. But he also says you ought to be doing the weightier matters of the law. Right. So here's what that implies. They were good at doing the things that everybody saw, but they weren't doing the things that nobody saw. Right. Like showing mercy. Do you read that? Judgment and faith. So by asking Jesus this question, this lawyer is saying to him, which is the heaviest of all the laws? Right? Which law of all of that 613 laws is the heaviest of all the laws? So we have the tempting question. Number two, we're doing good. It's only 7 o'clock. We're doing good. So we have the lawyer's tempting question. Number two, we have the Lord's tempered answer. And I'll show you why I use the word tempered. If you were to look up the word tempered in a dictionary, you would find this definition. It would say having the elements mixed in a satisfying proportion. Another dictionary says combined in a balanced and suitable proportion. All right, so if you've ever done, how many of you have ever done sheetrock work where you use the mud on sheetrock? You have to mix the water and the mud, and if it's too runny, it'll run down the wall. It has to be mixed in a satisfying proportion. So this man comes to Jesus and says, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus says the great commandment in the law is to love God, and the second is like unto it, to love others as yourself. So that question, I want you to think about it. How do you determine which of all of those laws, 613 laws, is the greatest commandment? That is a very complex question. Jesus' answer was very simple and perfectly balanced.
And I'll show you what I mean by that. My son-in-law, John, is an electrician. He's got a son. It's at Heartland. And he just got his journeyman's license. And so if I needed to have, say, a light fixture put in my house, which a while back we bought a house and my grandson came over and helped me hang a light fixture. Because sometimes electricity can be very complex. And shocking. You know, so my wife woke up one time from a nap and she was vacuuming. She's still about half asleep. Couldn't get the cord to come out, the plug to come out of the wall socket. So she went in the kitchen and got a butter knife and stuck it in to pry the plug out and woke up across the room. Is that right? You know, shocking. You know, so hey, listen, I don't want to mess with electricity. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call in the expert. Can you help me and do it? Help me to do it. Now, though, okay, this question that this man asked Jesus was designed to what? Tempt him, to trap him in his words, correct? He went to the right person to ask this complex question. So what do you mean? Who wrote the law? Who's called the living word? Jesus is the one that wrote the law. So if you want to find out which is the answer to a complex question, go to the expert. Amen. Go to the one who wrote it. And he did. And Jesus answers and said, the greatest commandment in the law is to love God. Love God. That's part one of this answer that Jesus gives. Did you notice this? Now let's look at it. And Jesus says in verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. You know what he does? He even tells us how to love God. He says, number one, you are to give him your devotion. The word heart, that's what that implies. Your devotion. My wife and I got married, and we just celebrated in August 51 years of marriage. You know, we got married when we were 12, but that is not true. 51 years. And I can say that there have been times when I've been more devoted to her than I should be, or less devoted than I should be. But after 51 years, you know, I haven't figured it out completely yet. Ladies, because just when I think I got it figured out, y'all change the rules. It's just, that's a woman's prerogative, I'm sure. But, you know, 51 years, you thank you. Yeah. Loudest amen of the evening right there. But you got to be devoted to someone and stay with them for 51 years. Devotion. You give him your devotion. He says you love him with all your heart. Now, I know where I'm at, you know. Hey, man, what is it? Your Arizona, is it the Wild? No, Sun Devils. Sun Devils, right? Is that right? Huh? They're going to the Sugar Bowl or whatever it is. I don't know. Anyway, they won the Big 12 championship, right? And we've driven by Cardinals Stadium out here, and I'm not going to tell you who my favorite team is because they're this year, but... But I do like the Dallas Cowboys. I'm sorry. I've tried to kick the habit. I've gone to DA, you know, Dallas Cowboys Anonymous or something like that. And there are just some habits that are not worth kicking. But you know what? Listen, do you know what the word fan is short for? Fanatic. Amen. You know, is there anybody here you dress up in a red bird suit and go to the Cardinals Stadium and sit there and go... You say, well, I won't do that. I may do it in the privacy of my own home, you know. But if you watch some sports teams, those fans, they're fanatics. Amen. They're devoted to their team. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not here to dog that. I'm just saying this. They're devoted. We should have that devotion for the things of God too, shouldn't we? We ought to be we ought to be more devoted to the cause of Christ than we are to some
football or basketball. I know you got the Phoenix Suns here and all of that. I understand that. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying this. Jesus said you ought to be devoted to God. Notice the second thing he tells him. You ought to give him your desires. The word soul that is used there. It's giving him your desires. What are your desires in life? Jesus says you ought to be devoted to God. Now give him in your heart. You ought to be, give your desires to God. And then he says this, you ought to, your mind, the idea of the mind is give him your decisions. Amen. When you make decisions, you ought to talk to God about it, especially if it's major decisions that you make in your life. You know, listen, teenagers, we got teenagers here tonight. You need to decide your future in light of loving God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Adults, the same way. So we're to love God. Why are we to love God? Well, Jesus says this is the what? First and great commandment. And again, I want to remind you, what was his goal? His goal was to tempt him. So he asked him this question, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And listen. And according to the one who wrote the law, the first and great commandment is to what? Love God. There it is. Part two. Notice this. Verse 38. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So part two, part one is to love God. Part two is to love your neighbor. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road for you and I as 21st century Christians. Jesus tells this lawyer who is a doctor of theology, so you ask me, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And here it is, love God. Now, I don't know if it happened this way, but I could almost picture in my mind, because again, they're trying to find something that they can use against Jesus. I can almost picture in my mind when Jesus says the first and great commandment is to love God. I can almost see, Pastor, I can almost see this Pharisee go like this. And begin to turn and walk away. Now, it doesn't say this, but I think that Jesus could have said something like this, wait a minute, I'm not done yet. And the second is like unto the first, you're to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, in a companion passage in Luke chapter 10, in the account of the Good Samaritan, when he says that to this man, the man responds this way, and who is my neighbor? Can I answer that question with my own question? Really, who isn't our neighbor? This brother's from the Philippines. Several years ago there in Oklahoma City, we had a guy that was at Tinker Air Force Base on TDY, temporary duty. And he was from the Philippines, and he had an apartment, and he had a computer with a camera on it. And so his wife is sitting, okay, listen, in the Philippines while he's at work, and she sees a guy kick the front door of her husband's apartment in and starts going in and stealing stuff. She calls her husband and said, hey, somebody just broke into the apartment. He calls the police. The police show up, the guy runs out the back door, and as he comes around the corner of the house, there's a police officer standing there and arrests him. And she's in the Philippines. And she sees all of this going on. You know, with email and texting and phones. There is, listen, can I help you? There's nobody in this world that isn't your neighbor. We have the technology available to us to reach all the way on the other side of the world. Who isn't our neighbor? So love for our neighbor, Jesus says, look at this, is compared to a love for ourselves. All right, time out. I got to stop and say this. Jesus isn't telling us that for me to love you,
that I have to love me first. You don't find that in God's word. You don't find where God says for you to love everybody else, you have to love yourself. We live in a world today that's, okay, what does this mean? Anybody know what this means? I love you. Do you know what the sign language for selfie is? You ready? Here it is. Boop, boop. I don't love you. I love boop, boop. I love me. Do we not live in a world filled with selfies? I can't take selfies. We've tried. We did it. We were up in Sedona the other day trying to take a selfie of ourselves, and I'm an old guy and I don't know how to do it. All I see is up my nose, you know, with the little boogies up there. And I just can't do it, you know, selfie. But we live in such a self-absorbed society. I'm not picking on anybody. I went to a funeral for a younger girl. She was in her 40s and had health issues and passed away. And I bet you that 80% of the pictures in the video tribute they did to her were pictures of her taking selfies with, what do they call that, the duck lips? Stuff like that. I don't know why they call it duck lips. That doesn't look like ducks at all to me. Okay. So anyway, then some guy gets up after this video tribute and says, if she taught me anything, she taught me to how to love myself. And I said, I think we just saw evidence of that. Jesus isn't saying for me to love you, I have to love me first. Because what did Jesus tell this lawyer who asked him this question? First and great commandment in the law is to what? Love God. So here it is. This is where it's going to help us today. If you love God the way you're supposed to, you're going to love everybody on this level the way you're supposed to. The author of the book, who is Jesus, said, you love God, and you'll have no trouble loving others. Do you get that? So what's the order? The order is you have to, come on, you have to love God, and if you love God, you will what? Thank you. Good job. Way to go, class. Isn't that right? Isn't that what the author of the book says? You say, well, how important are those two commandments? Well, look at verse 40. Now, this is amazing. On these two commandments, what are the two commandments? Say it with me. To what? Love God. Love others. Jesus says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Did you know that loving God and loving others is not just a New Testament principle? Right. Leviticus chapter 19 verse 18 tells us the exact same thing. Love God and love others. Now it seems that Jesus' answer to this lawyer fixed it for the Jews. Luke and Mark and Matthew all tell us that no man was able to ask him any more questions after that. So I want to ask you a question. How is your love for God? Have you given Him your heart? Do you know Jesus Christ today? If you were to die today, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? My son Jason was just here, preached your missions conference, is that right? And had to leave on Wednesday morning because a young man, 15-year-old young man, I'm sure you've told them the story, took his own life. His life ended just like that. We have no guarantees that tomorrow will ever come. You cannot promise me that you will get up in the morning and be able to move and breathe. I can't promise you that for myself. None of us have that guarantee. Do we? None of us do. And if you're without Jesus Christ tonight, if you were to die during the night, and it could happen, and I'm not preaching a gospel of fear. I'm just saying this. The reality is that 10 out of 10 people die. That is a legitimate statistic. And if you died without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you would not be in heaven with Him for all of eternity. I have no desire to fear, to make you afraid. That's reality. Isn't it? It's reality. So how's your love for God tonight? As a Christian, okay, let's talk to the believers here. Do you really love Him with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind? My wife and I from time to time do biblical counseling. And you know what I've discovered, Pastor? If people would love God the way they're supposed to, people wouldn't need counseling. They wouldn't need biblical counseling. Because the one that wrote the book, if God is the greatest love of your life, you will have a successful marriage. If God is the greatest love of your life, listen, parents, you'll get along with your children. And teenagers and children, you'll get along with your parents. And teens, if God is the love of your life, it doesn't matter what the world wants you to do. You will do what God wants you to do in your life. And be surrendered to Him. And if God is the greatest love in your life, you won't have a problem getting up tomorrow morning and opening up His Word. Spend some time in the Bible. Spend some time talking to the Lord. That's one of my favorite times of the day. Getting up in the morning with a cup of coffee. Hallelujah. Opening up my Bible and spending some time in the Word of God. Going out for a walk. Talking to the Lord. I love it. And you're saying, you're just bragging. No, I'm not either. I'm just saying this, that if you really love God the way that you should, you'll spend time with God. Do you love Him tonight? Do you love Him? Love God, love others. So the order is what? Help me out. Love God, love others. If you get this one right here, you'll have no problem.